what have I been up to? Well, I mean, I make it to poopy, make it to pee, watch Sopranos on TV. I stay dehydrated, stay online, put things in my cart but I never buy. I think about reading a book, then I remember I don't read books. I feel distressed about my career, I stew in my regrets and fear. I consider working out, but I do not actually work out. I Google, why am I depressed? And Google says, 'cause you're a mess. Ignore phone calls from my friends, start a project I'll never end. I ask, should I go back to school? And then I'm like, absolutely not. I wonder when I last saw the dentist, look up random houses to find out what the rent is. Compare myself to everyone else, if they have what I want, I hate myself. I make it to poopy, make it to pee, watch Sopranos on TV, and sometimes I buy myself Chipotle.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, February 2nd, and you already know the groundhog saw its shadow today, which means it's six more weeks of classics. I'm Jiggy Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
You got me. I was waiting for the groundhog news. What's up, everybody?
What's up? I'm the Wyerton Willie to your Puxatani Phil.
Nice.
We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Oh, hey-o, in the velvet, the crush.
Hey, I'm podcasting here!
You should have worn no undershirt under that. That would have been a hell of a look, yeah. Sopranos-like, yeah. Okay, all right.
You well, talk.
Yeah, while he does it, while Trey wasn't expecting that under there. Ooh, guns look good.
Yeah,
we've got the international man of mystery taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Brownies.
Yeah, brownies. Yes, Trey's still putting on the velvet. And while we wait for it to fully get on his body, making the magic happen over yonder, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Let's see this. Now, see. Hey, now do that.
Hey,
that's perfect. Thank you so much.
I came upstairs wearing this shirt, and Laura's like, whoa. I was like, well, you know, I told her about Friday. I told her about how I was going to start wearing my worst shirts, and she's like, that one's your worst one. You look sleazy.
Well, yeah, that's sort of the vibe of it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
In a good way.
Glad to finally come through with a pretty bad shirt.
That's
here.
Why I didn't mind the undershirt. You know, it was a straight white undershirt, which just was like sleazy times 10.
Exactly right.
Just, Trey, just if it does get a little too cold here in the Classic Factory, be careful if you go zipping that up. Now the chest hair is dangling.
Honestly, yeah, my ground meat is out.
Beef is back.
Yeah, shout out to the stream team for joining us live here on YouTube. It's already a classic. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We got a second podcast coming today.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're hitting the beach. A separate beach step-in podcast will be up on YouTube live. What time are we going, boys? I don't know, 1:30, 2, something like that. Sometime early afternoon, Eastern Coast time. So just make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Hit that little bell button. You get the notification when we're live. And, of course, we'll flip it into a podcast in your podcast feeds. Finally, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. At No Dunks Inc. Okay, on today's show, we'll talk about the Rising Stars pool of players, the 12 rooks, the 12 softs, the 4 G League Ignite players. We can talk about the snubs. That's all anybody wants to do when you see those names. Whoa. Where's so-and-so? So we'll talk about that. I also wanted to do a little deep dive into ESPN's article this week. I guess it was yesterday, from Ramona Shelburne, on the Ben Simmons versus Philadelphia 76ers ongoing battle. Something that you were, I guess we debated on yesterday's show about whether or not he was getting fined. Well, we got some information in that article, but we'll get to that later. Let's start with the games. First one, Tass, I'm setting you up, man. Gary Trent Jr. tops 30 points for the 5th straight game as the Raptors beat the Heat, who had Jimmy, who had Bam. Unfortunately, no Kyle Lowry still on the floor, but good win here from the Raps.
Yeah, the Raps came back from double digits because of Gary! It's hard not to say it that way. And Matt Devlin, Raptors play-by-play commentator, he's pulling a little bit of the Eric Collins with the Charlotte Hornets. I hear you, Matt Devlin. Yeah. I hear you. He's getting pumped, and he's calling him Gary when he hit those two back-to-back threes in the fourth quarter that were monstrous. There was a monstrous Gary Trent Jr. from Spruce Grove. Where the heck is Spruce Grove? Had to look that one up. West of Edmonton, Alberta. I didn't know that.
Anyways, that's a deep three.
That is a very deep.
That's deep.
Gary hits tough shots, as we've talked about. Maybe Matt Devlin was excited that there were 500 fans in the building, which is an expansion from zero fans. Yeah. They've allowed 500 fans plus the families of the players. So it felt, I know it's only 500 people, and maybe the sound was pumping in, and maybe just because it was Gary, and maybe because it was Matt Devlin, but it felt a little bit more like there were some people in the building, like there was some excitement.
They were chanting for Gary at one point, yeah, the 500 were. People there, including Drake.
Yeah, including Gary's dad, Gary Trent, yeah. The original, was there. You remember Gary Trent.
I thought you meant Drake. No, it came right after Drake. No, I was like, what?
Not calling Drake his dad.
I thought it was cool, though, that Drake got to see his favorite team, the Miami Heat, play in person again.
Yeah, how many... Were there more handshakes with Raptors players after the game or with Miami Heat players for Drake?
He's been to two Raptors games so far this year, right? Both Heat games.
I think so.
That's pretty hilarious to me.
Interesting.
I'm sure he's got a home in Miami, doesn't he?
Yeah, sure.
We'll get to more of the tough shot makers when we talk about the Suns, because Gary Trent Jr. is definitely one of those guys, those two threes in the fourth, but sort of along the Suns line, the Raptors do it by committee. And they had seven players score in the fourth quarter to come back from double digits from the Miami Heat. Now, the Suns have a little bit more top-level talent in Devin Booker and Chris Paul, but the Raptors have their own poor man, Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. And right now they are cooking. And so, yeah, this was a come from behind victory. Maybe the increase in fans helped out. And I'm not sure when Nick Nurse allows some other guys in the rotation to play a little bit more. I know that's the ongoing theme here with the Raptors, but as Eric Kareem points out, they had the most second and fourth minutes played, first, second, fourth. By far, Pascal Siakam, number one. OG's up there, and Fred VanVleet in the month of January specifically. So when the heck does that come down? Who knows? Who cares? They are just continuing to get so much out of everybody. That's seven players scoring in the fourth quarter. Again, that's a lot of players. We talk about them just playing seven guys, and when you got that contribution in the fourth quarter, that's how they won this game. That's definitely how they won it.
I thought the way this game started, the Raptors looked asleep in that first quarter, and the Heat just seemed to have enough. But then in the fourth quarter, it seemed like the Heat offensively just didn't really have enough options. And I think, again, you really noticed without Kyle Lowry there, they missed that guy who can just get those guys into sets. Bam was pretty good for them. But then it's kind of like just move the ball around, which is a good strategy. But Duncan Robinson, I think he hit his first three, didn't hit one after that. And they just didn't seem to have any other sort of momentum on their offense. And I thought for Pascal Siakam, we talk about the fourth quarter, he hit only one three. It was a big three last night there as well. Seven offensive rebounds for Pascal. I think you're just starting to see he understands he's got to be just more active and contesting those shots. He got like on a missed free throw, he got the rebound, put it back up, and got another and one opportunity. Plays like that, I think, have been missing from his game. He's starting to understand he needs to be way more aggressive like that throughout the game. So this was a really impressive win, because the legs looked heavy in that first half for both teams, really. And the Heat built that lead. It was double digits, and it was like the Heat are a team that can grind this out. They can keep this in the mud and probably get the win. But the Raptors found enough energy to get over the line and then closed it out in pretty impressive circumstances, I suppose, in the end. But overall, this one was a tough game, because I mentioned yesterday they had the triple overtime game Saturday night. They both played Monday night on the road. So the Raptors have home court advantage. But Matt Devlin sort of talked about this with Alvin Williams on the broadcast. Like, when you've been on the road and you come home, you need the fans to lift you up. And they just didn't have that last night, you know, apart from Drake there on the sideline. So I thought it was one of the sort of more impressive grind-out victories here for the Raptors against a tough team, even though they're obviously missing Kyle Lowry.
Anything to add to Raps Heat from last night?
60 points in the second half against the Heat is super impressive, I think, for the Raptors, considering the Heat are a team that likes to play slow in general and obviously kind of a defense-first team. So to hang 60 on them in a half is super impressive. I saw a lot of Raptors fans on Twitter last night calling the starting lineup the Big Five. That's hilarious to me.
Why do you call them the only five?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much the only five. You get a nice little taste of a Banton or a Champagny here and there. Yes. But it's basically those five. And when they're on the court, they look good. So when will that stop? I don't know. At least they'll get a little bit of a rest at All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it. Maybe somebody will get healthy. Maybe they'll make some sort of trade with Dragic and just bring in a couple extra bodies, which would be helping. But it feels like they're going to ride these five as long as they possibly can, right? And then figure it out.
Well, and I said this on yesterday's show, I think it was yesterday's show, or maybe the show before, that, you know, you said they come out slow in the first half. And it should be the opposite when these guys are playing 40-plus minutes a game, right? You think, okay, well, it's the start of the game. They're fresh. They'll have it going. And then as the game goes on, they'll tire, right, they'll get a little sluggish. But it's the opposite. They're so well-conditioned, these guys, in OG, who had a huge dunk on Butler. Obviously, Siakam, Van Vliet's got a motor. Scottie Barnes being a young guy, that's not a surprise. And then Gary Trent Jr., who cannot miss right now. Like, this is like, I don't think the rest of the NBA is probably all that, you know, hyped about Gary Trent Jr., and I get it, but he is only 23 years old. Like, this is not an old player here. They, you know, they did the Norman Powell swap here, I guess, in the offseason, and he is just, he just can't miss from distance. It's sort of wild. And in fact, the Raptors have, like, in a lot of these games, desperately needed these shots because they're, you know, the Raps get a lot of their, you know, scoring in transition because their defense is awesome. The length is everywhere and they can create a lot of opportunities. But in the half court set, you know, it's Van Vliet and then it's not a lot else. You know, like, guys can hit shots, but, you know, it's not, you don't feel all that great saying, here you go, Pascal. Like, go to work.
Yeah.
No. So it's Gary Trent Jr. as just a playmaker, like you talked about, Tass, has been huge in a lot of these Raptors.
Victories. They're relying on him for sure. Yeah. Fred has finally slowed down a little bit recently. He was going after that Steph Curry record of consecutive games with three-pointers made that ended last night. There, that's a record. Consecutive three games with three-pointers made. He was only like six behind, 17 to Steph's like 23 or whatever it was. It's finally slowed down. So Gary is, he's a little bit of a no, yes kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I think he reins it in just enough. He definitely has the green light to let her rip. But the other guys, the Pascal Siakam offensive rebounds, really, really key. And again, the most minutes in the NBA in January for Pascal, and continues to keep that motor going, which is really impressive. And Fred has been playing with a heavy load all season long, especially in those half-court sets with Pascal Siakam out. So it's impressive that they have the stamina, the endurance to outlast a Miami Heat team that was fresher because they didn't play Jimmy and Bam the night before.
Quality win there from the Raps. All right, next game. The Wolves bench leads the way in a 130-115 win over the Nuggets. I saw someone on Twitter, Trey, saying, you got to talk about the Wolves a little bit more. You guys aren't doing that enough. And I was like, okay. You know, they're up there.
There's no podcast that talks more about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Guaranteed.
I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I saw that, man. I know they're winning recently. So we haven't talked about them a ton, every night in and night out.
Good win last night.
I read that tweet.
I didn't read that tweet.
Really. Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about the Timberwolves right now. A little tea talk for you. When I see that a bench wins a team a game, I usually don't believe it. I'm like, the stars probably played great, and the bench helped out. That was not the case here. The bench literally won the game for the Timberwolves last night. Nikola Jokic had a very nice first quarter, 7 points, 6 assists. He played 11 minutes, and the Nuggets were winning by 2 when he checked out with a minute left at the end of the first quarter. When he checked back in the second quarter, the Timberwolves were leading by 20 after a 25-7 run with Jokic on the bench. I thought Denver just looked incredibly slow compared to the Timberwolves bench. They're all about activity and action and length and getting out in passing lanes. They forced a bunch of turnovers, which led to a bunch of transition, and the ball movement was actually really good as well. So Naz Reid was kind of running wild in the middle of the lane. He hit some threes as well. It was great stuff from the Timberwolves bench. Afterwards, Mike Malone said, the game was lost in that second quarter. Our bench unit came in. Their bench dominated our bench in that first half. That's exactly right. It ended up with 4 Timberwolves in double digits off the bench. Which 4 of those Timberwolves were they? Does anybody know?
Torian Prince,
yeah. Good game, 23
I think
points.
Beasley comes off the bench. Yeah.
Beasley, 12
game.
Points. Yeah. He hit 4 threes, 6 threes for Torian Prince. I mean, you get 10 threes from your bench. Mm. That's nice. Also, 10 for Jalen Noel and 12 for Naz Reid. So some incredible performances from their bench. Those, their 4 main bench guys all ended up in the positives. Naz Reid threw in a +3 as well. So, yeah, the bench literally won it For the Timberwolves in this one. Jokic played obviously in the second half as well, but he didn't need to come back in because the Timberwolves bench did it again in the second half, so it was like a 30-point game by the time Jokic would have even had a chance. So, incredible stuff from the Timberwolves, up to 7th place in the Western Conference, and let me math this out here, 2.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets, so this is kind of a valuable win as well, because you can see a world where the Timberwolves maybe claw their way out of the play-in tournament, hang out at number 6. Nice. That would be an incredible season for them.
Wolves clawing. Nice.
Yeah, especially because the Mavericks are another 2.5 games up there. They're not. They're 3 games clear of Minnesota right now. So they could be in a real battle there for Denver to avoid the play-in if they can do that. For the Timberwolves, over 500, you know, they feel like they're the Celtics. They're hovering around that 500 mark the whole season long. But this is a good season for them. They've played much better than we've seen in the past. Often at this stage of the season, they're sort of clinging on for dear life. Not the case here. And also, I thought it was funny, you know, I think it was the third quarter there, the Wolves were up 28, and then the Nuggets went on a little run, got it back to 19, and you could hear Dave Benz and Jim Peterson on the call like, oh, guys, we can't just give this away. You can't give them any light here. So they know they've seen this team give away a few leads in the past. But, yeah, really impressive when you look at, you know, Towns didn't have a great game, Edwards didn't have a great game, D'Angelo Russell didn't play. Good win for the Timberwolves against a very quality opponent who's been playing well. They'd won 5 in a row.
Yeah, they were on a winning streak. Yeah, for sure. Anything to add to this one?
Well, I would say, yeah, it's hard to believe when a bench wins a game. You know, you just get production from a bench usually. But I think the teams that you can believe in, the Knicks are probably the only one where a bench really wins a game. Because usually it's more about the starters just poop in the bed, really, and then the bench comes in and plays a lot better. Other than that, maybe the Spurs of yesteryear when they would help out. I don't know. Even still, it was the starters who win the game. That's who usually wins the game because that's who usually plays the most minutes. You know,
Not last night. Contributing off of the Wolves bench in that victory, and we'll see. Yeah, can they get up to 6th? You know, look. The Jazz are obviously struggling here too. They're not that many games ahead of them there because it's like 3 teams that are sort of clear, if I have that right. Obviously, the Suns, who we're about to talk about in a second here, the Warriors, and then the third team is
Grizzlies.
Thank you. Yes, I knew it was some other team. And then it's like the Jazz and the Mavs are there, and obviously the Nuggets are there, and the Wolves are trying to separate themselves from the play-in, the 500 teams, to join that second little tier, and we'll see if they can do it. Though now we've jinxed them because when you talk positively,
Skeet,
it's different.
The next 4 games for the Timberwolves, they play at Detroit, then they have Detroit at home, then they play at Sacramento twice.
Oh my God! So
you have to win three of those four.
Yeah,
I mean, 4 of 4 is what should be expected. 3 of 4 would be a treat from the Timberwolves.
Yes, if they split that, that's disappointing. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah, but if they go 1 and 3, we're not talking about them again until March.
Okay. I like that. That's fair. It's
1 month off.
It's a good roll. Okay, our next game from last night, the Suns roll to their 11th straight victory. They beat the Nets 121-111. This was the second game on TNT last night. Tass, Phoenix is 41-9. 41-9 in 50 games.
Yes, that is a franchise record through 50 games.
Yep.
If this was the lockout shortened season of 98-99, the playoffs would be starting right now, and the Suns would be feeling it right. Listen, they've managed their 50 games here perfectly after that quote-unquote slow start. And they've had an 18-game winning streak here, now 11-game winning streak. I was watching Mr. Devin Booker in this game closely because we had that talk about tough shot makers in the league. Gary Trent Jr.'s name came up. DeMar DeRozan's name came up. Luka Doncic's name came up. Devin is one of those guys. Maybe it's the shooting guard position, a tiny bit undersized. You don't jump over everybody.
Right.
And so if you have any other names, throw them in the comments. We need to know who are the tough shot makers in the NBA.
Maybe Booker is a great addition to this.
Yeah. If you looked at his 13 makes in this game, they're basically hand in the face, every single one. And he could have been, he blocked a lot of the time, but he gets that shot off. And he was pure last night. There was some trash talking going on. Yeah, Devin Booker is one of the shooting guards to watch in this league, obviously. He was special yesterday. And the Phoenix Suns doing it by ensemble. That's the hot word right now. Everybody talking ensemble. And if we're looking long term here, our man John Hollinger brought this up. What are the teams that this ensemble can emulate if they go into the playoffs and they ultimately get to an NBA Finals and try and win the championship? The 14 Spurs are an example. The 04 Pistons are an example.
So the idea being they're an ensemble, so they don't have a top 10 like superstar player.
Yeah.
Though some Suns fans would say bullshit on that, maybe. We have Chris Paul at the MVP table right now. Right,
yes,
so Devin
yes.
Booker is
I know the hot the
close.
This hot take is you don't want the ball in anyone else's hands if you're a basketball team and if you got Chris Paul on your team. Well, that's a pretty new phenomenon. That's this year phenomenon. I know Chris Paul is hot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You would rather have the ball in other guys' hands than Chris Paul to win a game. Okay, we're talking last shot, we're talking fourth quarter. Chris Paul is doing it now in the very late part of his career. But anyways, the point is, yes, they don't have a top 10 player. I mean, yeah, Chris Paul's in the conversation.
Close. They're close, but
they're close.
Because the
course.
Idea is, like, if you look back at the last champions, it's obviously there's Giannis, there's LeBron, there's Curry. You
know, Kawhi.
Kawhi, thank you.
Yeah,
like,
to connect them all. Okay. And yeah, Chris Paul has never been a guy put the team on his back and win a championship. Durant obviously is the number one guy. But we're here, and they're going to go into the playoffs. And if they play other healthy teams, the other healthy teams will likely have a number one guy that's, you know, won championships depending on who they play. But yeah, people will say, of course, they ran into some teams that were injured last year without their top guys. So anyways, the Suns, can they do it as a collective unit? Obviously it's possible, and they are obviously rolling. They have managed to get through this health and safety protocol run here pretty well, except for DeAndre Ayton, and he's out, and they've managed with those two backcourt players. On the other side, quickly, the Nets, we just mentioned Kevin Durant's name. They only played together 8 times last year, and then they went into the playoffs, and they could have easily knocked off the Bucks if it wasn't for a long Kevin Durant toe, or if they're playing with their stars. Kyrie Irving was out there playing with half a James Harden, who was playing on one leg. But they have questions this year that they didn't have last year. First, Kevin Durant's not healthy. Second, James Harden still has that hamstring injury. Didn't know about that until the playoffs last year. I mean, he's laboring right now. Kyrie Irving can only play road games currently. And I think the other big question is, the supporting cast isn't the same as it was last year. You know, you had Joe Harris shooting balls last year. He's not playing right now. You had Bruce Brown, as you knew he was going to come in and be that motor. And, you know, I mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge a couple weeks ago because I thought he could be their big guy, at least to support, like Blake Griffin was last year. Now he's hobbled. And yep. He's having a career year, but now he's on crutches. So this team, again, they could have ran to the title last year after playing 8 games together. Only their big three had only played 8 games together. But this year, I think there are more additional questions. And if they do get healthy again, you know, they could just slam those questions, you know, to the ground pretty easily because they have some crazy top end talent. But at 3 games out of first, they'll tell you, we can get it together. But they aren't together the way they were last year. Like, their supporting cast isn't the same. So it's been a big slog of a season for the Brooklyn Nets.
Back to the Suns with that Hollinger article about the ensemble there. He in it is wondering, like, do they make a move here and really, really, like, try and get one more piece possibly to, like, make another run to the finals and try and win the whole thing. He threw out a couple ideas. I want to chuck them at you and everybody here in the stream team. He said, and he compared it in talking about, like, an ensemble team. He called, like, one of the Bad Boys teams, like, sort of an ensemble team. And he said, adding a Vinnie Johnson-like player to Chris Paul and Devin Booker's Isaiah and Dumars, making that comparison. For instance, John Hollinger writes, Dario Saric out for the season and on the books for about $9 million next year. Could they trade him, Jalen Smith, Frank Kaminsky, and a first in 2024 to Portland for, and I might as well just point at Tass's chest, for Norm. Mm-hmm. JD, yeah, for Norm. Norman Powell, there it is, Norm. And then, so there's that. And what about a similar package to Houston for Eric Gordon and, let's say, Jason Tate? Do you think the Suns should be active and really, like, looking at this roster, like, hey, one more piece, or are they fine?
Well, I think if you offering up those players who are basically not playing,
right,
and you get Norm Powell, yes,
right.
Why not? Why not get Norm Powell?
These are future picks, by the way,
yeah,
2024, 2026, stuff like that.
Because you're not getting anything out of those guys, him or Eric Gordon, both. I think Eric Gordon's probably a little bit more reliable from three. I'm not really sure. I'd have to look into it a little bit more, but he's done that a little bit. Norm, as you know from the Toronto days, hot Norm,
yeah,
cold Norm, he goes a little bit like that. But But I really think a lot of it comes down to what offensively they get out of Bridges as well. Yeah. Bridges last night, in the last two games, he's had over 50 points. He's a bit of a feast or famine guy. Sometimes he gets four shots. Sometimes last night he had 14. I think he had 16 in the last game against the Spurs. And when he's on and when he just cuts inside and they find him, he's got those gigantically long arms. He can finish it around the rim. Remember the first two games of the finals last season against the Bucks? He was really good. And then he dropped off. A combination of factors there. But if they can get more offensive, consistent offensive production out of him, they don't necessarily need that other guy to come out and shoot there. But and obviously, look, Bridges is brilliant.
He's out there for his defense.
He's their fourth best player. But he can have games like he did last night where he has 27 points on a big night against a good opponent, and he is an incredible player. So, if you can sort of package that ensemble.
Saric, Smith, and Kaminsky future pick, you're doing
that. Ensemble within an ensemble. I mean, if you can get a couple of players who would play for you in the postseason, I would personally prefer Gordon and Tate over Norm Powell by a long shot. But, Saric is out for the season. You've got DeAndre Ayton back playing in the lineup. Bismack Biyombo has been fun to watch. He can at least be your backup center. He probably won't play a ton in the playoffs. So, if you're going to ship out some non-rotation pieces for some playoff performers, good stuff.
Yeah, ship out that quartet from your orchestra, because that quartet and that ensemble isn't really contributing. What instruments would that quartet be that aren't contributing? The least impactful of the orchestra.
JD, help us out here. The oboe? I don't know. Is that important?
I mean,
The oboe is incredibly important.
I don't know.
I want a type of instrument. Like, I want
a triangle.
Yeah, the triangle.
It's very impactful, though. A triangle, when it comes in, that ding over everything, just one.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Can make an entire symphony.
So, okay, what's your answer to that? Give us at least one instrument to get the hell out of the
third
symphony.
Third trombone. Get out of here.
Third trombone?
Yeah, there's the lead, and then there's the third person down the row. They're the third best.
I was looking for a group of instruments within the orchestra. An ensemble within the ensemble. Yeah, the woodwinds are... That's an interesting one, the woodwinds, the brass.
Violas, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Violas, the violins, goodbye.
See ya.
See ya later.
No, violins stay, but violas, get out of here.
Oh, okay, fine. Sorry, I didn't know that they were separated.
Yes. Yes, Tess.
I mean, I think you could get rid of the cymbals and the triangle.
You're wrong. And go on.
I think we might, auxiliary percussion?
We might have a new squad pod here where we do the opposite of drafting it. We take the symphony and
we
start eliminating them. Yeah.
But you just got to wonder about the triangle guy. Are you just an awesome triangler in high school? You're like, man, we've got to get that guy.
Great timing.
Yeah, I guess so.
And attention to detail.
Yeah.
Like, you can fade away there, just standing there.
You would be, you'd be checking your phone.
Well, it's funny because talking about triangle, I've seen it at Elton John concerts. I'm like, I see the guy just going bing like that, and I'm like...
Well, that's not usually all they're doing. other percussion instruments.
He is up there, but I'm like, I don't notice that impact from that, just that one dingle, and then he gets back to his other business. But I guess Elton does.
Wow.
Elton, shots fired. Elton does.
What instrument do you see yourself playing in an orchestra?
Give me some sort of big clarinet. Would a clarinet be in there?
Absolutely, yes, of course.
Give me the clarinet. That's a pretty sexy instrument.
What?
I think so.
No way.
Sexy?
Clarinet is like a not sexy saxophone.
No, I think it is. I you know why I said that?
Really?
I was in Central Park one day in summer.
He has one specific story where he saw a really cool looking guy playing the clarinet.
This guy was sort of busking, not really busking. He was just playing the clarinet. It was a beautiful September, a gorgeous day.
Gorgeous day. Always and the, a gorgeous day.
It was. It was September in New York. It was beautiful. I was there for the tennis. And I thought, wow, that guy's just really bringing the ambiance to Central Park. You know, like... It's a nice background,
It doesn't stand out in an orchestra, but I can see it so well.
But is it sexy?
Clarinet is not sexy.
Definitely not.
No
curves. You don't notice it. No curves. Straight up and down.
Just straight.
Just straight.
Straight wood.
We got to get to these other games here. Lee, the shorthanded Warriors stunned the Spurs 124-120, extended their winning streak. And look, we keep talking about the Suns racking up these wins. The Dubs are still there, and they got this victory last night without really any other guys.
That's right, and they were down 15 going into that third quarter there. Jonathan Kuminga was brilliant in that fourth quarter. Had some really nice plays, got some out, hit a three, got some outlet fast breaks, but just really shows his athleticism and his size inside. He's going to be a handful, I think, in this league. If he was a high draft pick, they believe in him. On a team like this, he's not going to get a ton of opportunities. But last night, because there was no Steph, no Draymond, no Clay, no Andrew Wiggins, someone had to step up, and it got into that fourth quarter when it was finally him. And then Jordan Poole hit a huge three. Might have gotten away with the travel just before that. I'm not sure. It depends on which broadcast you listen to, really. the Warriors there, Bob Fitzgerald and Azubuki were like sort of laughing, just going like, nah, wasn't really a travel.
But John, that means it was if they were laughing.
But see, on the Spurs, I listened to the Spurs as well, and Bill Land was kind of like, the fans thought it was a travel. He didn't actually say if it was a travel or not. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. This was a really good comeback win. Steph Curry was going crazy on the sidelines here. And I think for Steve Kerr, you know, I talked a little bit about this yesterday with the Philadelphia 76ers without Embiid. They had their other stars, but no Embiid. Can this team still win and compete against a team like the San Antonio Spurs? Aren't having a great season, but they're always a kind of tough team, and they did. So I think Bob Fitzgerald also called this the most impressive victory of the season last night. All factors considered, no stars coming down for 15 and had to close it out. So it was a pretty good end here to the game. So good stuff from the Warriors.
The other games last night, Trey, I'm chucking them all at you.
All right, I got a take for every single
one
of these.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I was just about to ask you. Okay, Bulls hold off the Magic's fourth quarter rally for the 126-115 win. I know you got a take on this.
Yeah, my take is that the Bulls have decided to not play defense, not even try, until Lonzo and Caruso are back. I love it, but I kind of hate it because I've seen what they look like when they actually do play defense. That being said, they did play 5 minutes of defense last night, finished the game on an 11-0 run after the Magic tied it late in the fourth quarter. Couple of big shots by Ayo Dosunmu last night. Ayo Silver, as Stacey King was saying. That's the 32nd win for your Chicago Bulls, more than they had all of last season. Up next, John Hollinger's prediction of 36 wins. Can they get there before the All-Star break? It'll be tough. 4 games in 5 nights for the Bulls.
They play the Raptors, one of those,
Thursday,
right?
Yeah. I think.
Ooh, exciting stuff. Okay. What about this one? Giannis gets the triple-double, helps the Bucks top the Wizards 112-98. First game on TNT last night.
That's right. And, you know, I like to say that first-half leads aren't real. And this is a good, weird first-half leads aren't real kind of game. The Bucks got up by 17 in the first half. Wizards battled back, took the lead with 8 minutes left, but it was a 17-4 run for Milwaukee the last 4.5 minutes of this game, and the Bucks won by 14. So they blew a 17-point lead and still won by 14 because they were playing against the Wizards and they had Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, the guy just decided, okay, I'll just dunk it every single time. I'll be in the lane so many times. The only other real takeaway I have from this, there was a flagrant on Giannis Antetokounmpo that was called a common foul first. They went back and reviewed it. It was Montrezl Harrell grabbed him on the arms. Getting a little shacky with the way people are defending Giannis these days. It's kind of like, just try and take him down at least once a game. Right. So
I like Bobby Portis stepping up there, though.
Yeah, Bobby's got his back, no doubt. No doubt about that. But they're going to have to protect Giannis, I think, a little bit out here because people are just going to keep taking shots at him.
And you can see why, though, because how do you actually stop him? No. You know, he's got that gigantic step. He's so long. You know, he's so strong now as well. You're really noticing that physical bulk that he's got where he's bouncing guys off him.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like, we can't really do anything else. It does remind me a bit like of the Antonio Davis and Dale Davis where they're just like, just jump on Shaq. You've got 6 fouls.
Right,
use them.
Right.
But obviously we don't want him getting injured or hurt or anything like that. But it's a tough, tough matchup right now against Giannis. I mean, it has been for the last couple of years, but now really, like he's so much more confident in himself, I think, inside.
And final one, Brandon Ingram, 26 points. He's back in the lineup. Pelicans rally for the 111-101 win over the Pistons.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram is the story. Missed 5 games, came back, and the Pelicans won right away. 26 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. This doesn't sound impressive. The Pelicans are 17-20 when he plays, but they're 2-12 when he doesn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of my all-stars, but I considered making the case, and I would hear from people on the internet if they wanted to say Brandon Ingram is an all-star. Like, when they come out with snubs, surely he will be one of the guys mentioned as a snub, because he's been playing pretty well. And when he plays, the Pelicans are actually a competitive team. I'm still thinking they could possibly make a run at the play-in tournament. Who knows? They just had that terrible, terrible start. Now they're balling, and they seem to have figured some things out. So good stuff from Brandon Ingram. Welcome back, buddy.
Come Friday show, Tess, when we're here in the Classic Factory for the drop, and we're talking about the reserves named the night before, will Brandon Ingram's name come up on your list of snubs in the Western Conference?
What an accomplishment to come up on a list of snubs. Yeah. Yeah, he has been really good when they play. And he's battled through. It's been a rough season. Think about it for the New Orleans Pelicans. If the whole Zion thing plays out differently and Zion's on the floor for half the games, then they're a play-in tournament team, absolutely. So, yeah, then they have Brandon Ingram in the conversation as an all-star. And Zion's not done. I don't think he's done this season. I think there'll be a Zion appearance at some point.
Tess says Zion's not done, and we're not either. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get to the Rising Stars rosters. We'll talk snubs when it comes to the rooks and softs, and we'll do a deep dive on the latest intel into the Simmons versus 76ers.
I'll be back.
All right, great. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Back in the Classic Factory, last night, the NBA unveiled the rosters for this month's Rising Stars Challenge, which featured the presence of G League Ignite players for the first time. But let's get to the rookies first. Them selected were Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Ayo, Chris Duarte, Giddy, Green, Herb Jones, Davion Mitchell, Mobley, Shengun, Suggs, and Wagner. So before we get to the sophomores, was there a snub? Or did they do a pretty good job here, Tass? Is there a name that you're like, what? Where's that rookie? Or is this a pretty good 12?
I don't want to get snobby about the snubs. I think they did a good job.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job. You can bring up a name. Sure. I think they did a good job.
You want me
job.
To bring up a name?
Yeah, of course. We got to, right?
There was one name that I was just surprised, I think, just because of like the plays we've seen from them. He had a good game last night. He said sort of turning the game around for the Warriors. Kuminga. I thought Kuminga would just be selected. And people will say, well, if you bring up a snub and you bring up a name, you got to take somebody off. I didn't think Davion Mitchell would be on the team, but he's there. Kings have had a shit poor season, maybe a little bright spot. So that's it. That's all. That's my only qualm, if you want to even call it that.
Yeah, and like I said, for Kuminga, he's had some good moments, but it's just hard to break into a team that. So
That's the thing. Davion Mitchell actually has better stats than...
Yeah. He's incredible to watch defensively, but yeah, you can't sort of get too upset with who they pick because it would be tough. There's a lot of guys who play a handful of minutes and then they're off and then they've had some bigger impact. Like Evan Mobley, of course he's going to make it, but he's missed time as well with injuries out there. Most of these guys have, so I'm not sort of getting upset throwing, punches at anyone over who's not in the sophomore Rising Stars Challenge.
I was surprised to see Kuminga has played 40 games this season. That's high.
So it gets in there, yeah. Okay.
That's high for
higher
me.
Than you thought.
Yeah, I think so.
You must have been very excited that Io got some, not consideration, got selected to this team. Not really a surprise.
No,
but
not
like
at
that,
all.
I like that Herb and Io, like second rounders, like did.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I wonder how high Io would go in a redraft. Top 10, I think for sure. Maybe top 5, depending on how crazy you are about him.
That's a top 10.
I'm taking Io over Giddy. I said it.
Whoa. Let's go to the soft horse.
Nobody disagrees.
Nice. You don't just you do disagree with. You would take Giddy over.
Of course I would. I mean, Giddy's been great. Yeah, but Io's been incredible too.
The steal of the draft, people are saying.
Io.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Giddy could argue that as well at number six. No one had him up there. No one had him. I didn't see him on any board higher than about 12, maybe 10.
Yeah, you called it.
Well, I got some good information.
Yeah, good intel.
Really good information.
So you're taking you take Io over Giddy. Franz and a couple Jalen's.
I don't know about Franz. Franz is pretty solid, man. Yeah. But so I don't Cade. Know. I would have to. I would map it out someday.
Cade Barnes Mobley.
But I feel like Kuminga. I'm with you. He's probably the biggest snub. He was the highest draft pick that didn't make it. Yeah. He's got the G League pedigree, which I would wonder if that kind of factored in. Obviously, it didn't. But I also feel like he kind of got screwed by Wiggins making it as a starter. They're like, we can't invite all of the Warriors here. We can't have every single Warrior. Throw some sauce out there for the Pacers and Kings.
Yeah.
They need a representative at All-Star Weekend.
That does happen with these, for sure. All right, let's get to the sophomores here. JD, we got Precious Achiuwa from the Raptors, Cole Anthony, LaMelo Ball, Desmond Bain, Sadiq Bey, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Maxey, two Tyreses, Jaden McDaniels, Isaac Okoro, Beef Stew there with the Pistons. So that brings us up to three Pistons players, if you're keeping track. And then Jayshon Tate from the Rockets. Leo, start with you. This one, I think there are maybe more names that people are like, whoa, where's this guy? Who's at the top of your list?
Well, another guy who's been really good defensively is Kongwu there for the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah. I think he's got a pretty strong case. But again, he just hasn't maybe had enough minutes.
He's only played like 18 games. Yeah.
So, but when he has played, he's really stood out. He's had some incredible plays and moments. But again, you can't get sort of too upset about these things because for most of these guys, you know, they're just trying to make it on a team. And so this is like gravy on top of their steak dinner,
on top
I
of their beef stew. Yeah, but exactly. I think Okongwu should make it over beef stew. Yeah. I understand that the league is saying to the Pistons, here you go. You know, the Hawks have Trae Young in the All-Star game, but what do the Pistons got? Well, they got guys in the Rising Stars Challenge, but I think Okongwu, even though Isaiah Stewart has had the opportunity to play a lot more, Okongwu's played better. He has played very solid, and he could be a starter while Stewart is played in that starter role and hasn't really done the same thing. But either way, yeah, I'm not getting upset, but I'm upset. I want a Kongwu in this game, and it's hard to take anybody off, but I would trade him for the beef.
I was a little shocked that neither of the two Knicks players made it in Obi Toppin or Emmanuel Quickley. I will say, I thought at least one of them would be in there. And again, it gets a little difficult. Like, okay, who are you taking off? Because there's some awesome, awesome names there. But were you similarly surprised a little bit, Trey, that the Knicks got in there?
I actually really like these rosters because I feel like there are some snubs out there, but in general, these are the most exciting players from these two drafts, except for one of the Knicks guys. I guess Obi Toppin is likely a dunk contest.
Yep.
Competitor, so fair, keep him out, which means that Emmanuel Quickley would maybe slide in there, but he's had a little bit of an underwhelming season. That being said, those are the two big ones to me. I also saw Denny Avdija and Devin Vassell were the other names being bandied about, but not much buzz for either of those guys this year.
Yeah, you watch. One of them will be an injury replacement, unfortunately. No, someone will tweak an ankle here in the next couple of weeks, and they'll have to name some guys. And just to remind everyone, this is not rooks versus sophomores this year. They're doing something different. We're going to jumble up these teams, including four G League Ignite players named to the roster pool. Marjan Beauchamp, if I'm saying that correctly, excuse me. That's a beautiful name, though. Dyson Daniels.
Yeah.
The vacuum cleaner, they definitely don't call him Lee. Jaden Hardy. And then maybe the best name of the bunch, Scoot. Scoot Henderson. One of these guys you love, Lee, because they're Australian.
Well, right? Dyson Daniels, yeah. He's Australian. I honestly don't
the
know.
The Aussie vacuum, they call him.
Yeah, I honestly don't know a whole lot
backwards.
About him. But yes. he has been floated around some mock draft boards, so I believe...
A lot of these guys, the G League Ignite guys, are like, I think they're all, four of them are ranked in like the top 20 on
lists. If we can get another Australian drafted, that'd be fantastic. So I think him and Josh Giddey have played together in the past. So excited to see how he goes on the big stage.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this at you guys. It's true sicko shit, but should we do a podcast, because they're going to have four teams here, should we play the roles of the four coaches, let's say? You're Rick Barry.
Okay.
Tass.
Grapefruit for
I'm
sure.
GP. I'm GP. You're I've Gary worked Payton. With Gary Payton. Yeah, you're before. Gary Payton. I can
Trey,
channel
is
Gary.
Is Trey more of an Isaiah Thomas or James Worthy?
Well, on one hand, Isaiah Thomas is from Chicago. On the other hand, ooh, yeah, James Worthy accessorizes.
Yeah, I think I like the Chicago link.
I'll take it.
Okay,
yep,
yeah.
I'll take it.
And then, okay, that leaves me as James Worthy. What I was going to say is, should we do a podcast where we draft our teams? You don't want to. And that's fair.
Why
that's
not?
Fair.
So let's make them. Yeah,
yeah,
we'll
yeah,
do
yeah.
it.
So we're definitely doing
yeah,
that.
We'll do it.
Why not?
Listen, I don't
because
know.
We could draft them and then the, you know, the viewers, the listeners could tell us, ooh, who's got the best team there.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because they're stocked with good players. As yeah. Trey brought up, it's easy to get excited about these three teams or these three lists of players here because, yeah, the last two drafts have been stocked full of talent and no one has really disappointed. Of course, you know, some guys rise to the crop, rise to the cream of the crop a little bit more, but yeah, looking through both rosters, yeah, it's disappointing James Wiseman isn't there because he's been injured as a number two pick, but
Patrick Williams,
yep. sure, but I don't know if it's just an annual February thing where I get a little bit excited about looking at these rosters. I can't remember last year or the year before.
Well, we didn't
we
have one
about
last
this.
Year. That was the thing.
Oh,
maybe, I think you're
maybe
ready.
We've just been yearning for it yeah. for 2 years. Yeah. And maybe as a Raptors fan, seeing Scottie Barnes and Precious Achiuwa in there, exciting stuff. The first time the Raptors have had two players in the event since 2008.
Well, who's that? Bargnani and...
Bargnani and...
It's got to be like... It's someone stupid. Jamario Moon.
Joey Graham?
Jamario Moon.
Jamario Moon.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
You knew
Moon.
That. Come on, you knew
no,
that.
No, I think
just
maybe
guessing
I saw
Jamario
that.
Moon.
Well, I remember, yeah. like, I remember Bargnani for sure, but yeah. I knew it was someone stupid.
Jamario
no offense
Moon.
To Jamario Moon. Well, when was he in the dunk contest?
Somewhere around
probably the same
year. You know.
Something
like that.
Yeah, could have been
the
same year.
Yeah, probably the same year. They didn't pay for two flights, two separate years.
Hey,
nah.
I was surprised Precious Achiuwa got selected.
That's a surprise.
That's a surprise.
You know? Akongwu,
Vassell,
Abdia. Yeah. All right, well, let's hear from you guys. Any other what about this guy? What about this young guy that we didn't say here on today's show? Let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the comments or tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Okay. Our next little thing here, a little different. But on Tuesday, ESPN published a wide-ranging report from Ramona Shelburne detailing the many layers of the standoff between Ben Simmons and the 76ers. I loved every paragraph from this. So I thought, hey, let's have some fun with it. Here are my top five parts from Ramona's latest Ben Simmons versus the Sixers column.
Top five, top five, top five. Top five, top five, top five.
Yeah, okay, so at number five, top Lee, top this one's for you.
Great.
Because again, we debated this on yesterday's show about, is Simmons like actually getting fined? Is he really losing money? Why isn't this a bigger story? Remember, Tass and I were like, nah, I don't think so. And you're like, he might be. Well, turns out he is. According to Ramona, Simmons has lost over $19 million in fines since the season began. Each missed game cost him about $360,000. He hasn't cleared a paycheck since the $8.25 million, which was 25% of his $33 million salary, that was due to him back in the start of October. Every 2 weeks, the team sends a notice with an explanation of all the fines he has accumulated for failing to render services instead of a $1.375 million paycheck. And by the end of the season, she writes, if he does not play for the Sixers or any other team, Simmons could lose another $12 million. This, I mean, you must have been a little surprised by this part. From this column, because yeah. you again were like, is that happening? She says it is.
She says it is. There's another line there that further explains it, though, as well. So to summarize, he got an $8 million check to start the season because
yep,
he has 25%. A unique clause in his contract that says you get 25%. He's been fined $19 million since. But an arbitrator will settle this eventually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can talk about the man's money and dollar in, dollar out, dollar in, dollar out. But eventually, someone is going to adjudicate this. And the union's going to say, hey, give some of that money back to Ben. And so, yeah, the final dollars, it looks bad for Ben now. But I think Ben will get more in his pocket eventually. And that 25% helped out right off the bat.
Sure.
Nice.
And,
nice
and he's
eight.
Probably already made $40 million in his career.
Oh,
or something
probably
like.
More than
Maybe
that.
More.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
Anything to add to that first piece here?
No, I mean, it is interesting, though. I'm not sure how he can get any of those missed game checks back. The games are gone. They're done. They're played. So I'm not sure, even with an arbitrator, what could you say to recoup any of that money? I mean, going forward, certainly if he sits on the bench, if he dresses and suits up, maybe he gets paid then. But those games, I mean, you can't replay them. So I'm not sure how he's going to get it back. Anyway, I mean, $360,000. He's sitting there just
a game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Next piece here. Number four, I guess. According to sources close to Simmons, he's upset that Embiid seemed to blame him for last season's playoff loss when Simmons did not blame Embiid for Embiid's poor showing in the playoffs against the Raptors in 2019. He's frustrated that Rivers, Doc Rivers, didn't come to see him while he was training in Los Angeles last summer. And there was a little more to this. This part is getting a lot of buzz, I would say, like totally. A lot of the headlines here, that Simmons is pissed off that Embiid got upset with him with what happened against the Hawks. But hey, Simmons didn't get upset with Embiid when he was a plus 90 in that series against the Raptors. And yeah, his raw numbers were down. Gasol did a great job. He was sick and all that. But this is weird. Because this is coming from Simmons' camp here.
Yeah. I'm not surprised to hear it, though, because Embiid and Doc Rivers 100% threw Simmons under the bus. There was a smarter way they could have done. They could have voiced their displeasure to him and then just said, yeah, we got Ben's back. Wish he would have taken that shot, but he didn't. There are other ways they could have gone about it. But so it's not surprising to me that that sticks in Ben Simmons' craw. And if he's just like, hey, let me see here, pulls up Basketball Reference and looks at Joel Embiid's stats yeah, against right. the Raptors in 2019, 17.5 a game, 9 rebounds, only 37% yeah. from the field. You can see where he's making the argument, but Embiid was not the problem in that playoff series. And honestly, Marc Gasol, I think that really shows something, that Marc Gasol is a pretty solid defender, even late in his career, that he was doing that. My favorite part, though, is the next paragraph. Simmons doesn't dispute that he didn't reply when Rivers texted and called him several times over the summer. But in hindsight, Simmons feels Rivers and the Sixers could have done more, like showing up at a well-known gym in the San Fernando Valley where he was training.
I can't believe that's out there. Because wasn't it they were getting on a plane to go out and to try to convince yeah. him to come back, and he said, don't come. Mm. And now he's saying this.
Yeah.
That's just beyond stupid, if you ask me. Like, that doesn't make any sense. The Simmons and Embiid stuff, again, statistically, and I think Embiid had the upset stomach in that series yeah. as well. That doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, the shits.
Yeah, this is even. This sounds even stupider to say. You could have shown up. We tried to. You said don't.
Which one do you want?
Yeah,
yeah. Anything.
Ramona is. Yeah, she is relaying what's coming from Simmons' camp, trying to play both sides here. There's other parts of this that aren't included. Yeah, they tried to go out and see him. They wanted to see him. Joel Embiid got on the microphone and said, hey, support our brother, he called him at the beginning yep. of this season. You know, again, I'm sure that message wasn't for the fans. It was for Ben Simmons. So, you know, but this he said stuff is... it's rough. I mean, they're teammates, and it's unfortunate, but yeah. I mean, in the heat of the moment, yeah, Doc said, I don't know if Ben Simmons can be a point guard to lead us to a championship team, and B said, we lost the game when that man didn't dunk the ball, and that was it for Ben. I mean, they right. I don't think they could recoup it, I guess, unless they went to San Fernando and watched.
Find me at a well-known gym. There's only one there.
And yeah, he's been working out at a well-known gym in Philadelphia, but then that has to stop yeah. because people see him. So now he's back at the practice facility. Mm. What an article.
All right, my next favorite part from this article. Some within the organization believe Simmons has built up his return so much, the reality would be nothing compared to what he has imagined it to be. Quote, he'd get booed for a few games, but if he played well, everyone would get over it, one team source says. The fans booed Joel and Tobias Harris too, and they both got through it. I think this is a fascinating little addition here to this article. Do you believe that's the case, that maybe Simmons has built it up in his own mind? Yeah, they're going to boo him if he were to return, and I don't think it's ever going to happen, play for the Sixers, but if he did, there'd be boos, and then if he played well, it's like, oh, great, now we got Simmons.
Fans are as fickle as anything.
Right.
Of course, if he plays well, they're going to forget about it quickly. Yeah. If they start winning games, they're like, oh, man, this guy's awesome. They forget about that stuff. They want to get it out at the start. During introductions, boo, boo, boo. Simmons goes out there, grabs that rebound, zips down the floor, has a highlight reel dunk. Team wins. He's playing defense. He's giving this to the crowd.
Yeah,
The Philadelphia fans, we talked about it earlier. Like, would you rather apathy or the passion? The same with the Knicks. They're passionate both ways.
Yeah.
They will absolutely support one of their own if they're winning. If he goes out there and he doesn't pass and he doesn't care, then they'll boo him sure. And they'll be like, get off. But if he's out there playing his ass off, they are going to support him, I believe, 100%. After the initial, like, just let us get this out. Just let us have this one.
Right.
Because fans just want winners. Fans want, if your team is winning, they don't care how it comes about.
What happens, though, if they start losing and he passes up another shot, Lee? They're going to boo him
They're
going
to boo him. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. They're going to boo him if he does that. But if he takes a shot, let's say, a good shot, like, if he goes up for that shot and, say, clunks it or misses it, but he's trying, I think they're going to be more sympathetic, at least, to say, hey, he tried out there.
I'm glad you brought this up, because Kyle Newbick,
yes,
of
Philadelphia.
Oh my, are you fucking kidding me? The Philly voice. Okay. He said, and I think this is spot on, people are willing to forgive failure and mistakes for people who prove themselves willing to recognize their own limitations and work to fix them. What they won't do is show respect to someone who opts out of even trying when things get tough. And that is maybe the fundamental difference between an Embiid and a Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And like, because Embiid, like, you know, okay, against that series against the Raptors, he's crying after it. Yeah. Stuff like that. Didn't have a great series, not a dominant series. You know, he flames out against the Celtics. People are like, ooh, missing Ben Simmons in that series. Maybe it is Ben Simmons is, the real engine of this team. And instead, he takes all that and he's like, well, screw you. I'm just going to get better and better, and then finishes MVP runner-up and, of course, might win it this year. Who knows? And where Simmons is tackling this as the complete opposite of like, no, you don't know. You don't understand. And I'll show you, but I'll show you on some other team. So I thought that was a fascinating point. The Philly voice, all right?
Philly voice, I know. Kyle does a great job, by the way.
It does. It does. Okay. Next one here. Only two left. Every night around 10 p.m., Simmons receives the team schedule for the next day. He shows up to shoot-arounds and film sessions when and where he's required to, according to a source close to him, to avoid getting fined for missing the team activity, but he rarely stays long or engages with anyone. This is really strange if this is true. So he has still been, like, periodically showing up to shoot-arounds and walkthroughs and just sort of stands in the corner, probably doesn't engage all that much, say anything at all. That is
working on his jumper.
It's even weirder.
He better be. He better be. I mean,
what, working on his jumper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If he's taken all this time off and when he comes back, he still hasn't got any semblance of any improvement on that jump shot, that's when fans are going to be like, well, you weren't doing anything. You were just hanging around. So I hope he's working on it. I hope he's got something he's adding to his game.
Yeah. I just think this, like, this concept has of, like, it's, I almost want to, like, applaud the Sixers and their record so far. If this is the case that Ben Simmons, he's like, you see him around, he's sort of there, but you have to, like, pretend he's not. And, like, that's got to be strange.
Yeah, shoot-arounds and film sessions.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't know that. You got to assume that that is, yeah, it's definitely true that it's happening.
Yeah.
How many he's there, I guess, you know, if you want to get all fickle, like, is he there all the time? It's just it is a very, 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 very strange scenario. He's working out. According to Ramona Shelburne's article, he's looking good in terms of being physically ready if there's a team out there looking for Ben. According to this article, the guy is good. Go to a local gym. You may see him. You may not. But he's ready to play basketball. And he attends the occasional shoot-around or film session. So he likes basketball.
So, but why? I mean, they have to invite him so that they can fine him, right? Pretty much. But why would you want him around?
Right.
Yeah, I assume he's getting paid for those things.
That's
though.
What it says, yeah, is that he goes to avoid being fined.
Right, yes.
But I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, this is just a lot of extra clerical work for the Sixers. They got to send him a schedule that he's going to show up and you're not going to talk to him. They're sending him all of these envelopes filled with the reasons he's being fined. Like,
I think the reason is why they want him back. They want him to be there. I think they're not cutting bait, right? They're still... They're like a boyfriend that's still yearning for that girlfriend. I'm going to come around you in that local gym where I know you hang out.
See you at the local gym.
Could be
see
a little...
at the local well-known gym.
Oh, yes. Maybe a little rekindling.
My final part, we'll end on a positive note. This one's just a little silly. It was near the end. Ramona wrote, in many ways, Simmons has already moved on. He still lives with his Italian Mastiff, Bane, in the house he'd originally hoped would be a forever home near Philadelphia. Although he put it up for sale months ago. Every man's got to have a dog. In all honesty, you know, Simmons sounds like he's going through it. And a lot of it, I know people are upset with him and question this whole mental health stuff. And that's, unfortunate, I think. But at least he's got a dog.
Mm.
That's got to help, Lee. Bane. I like that name, too. Pretty good dog name.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got a dog. He's engaged too, apparently.
Yes, that's right.
According to the article. So, yeah. Anyway, this is an awful situation. And I honestly think right now there's no traction. There's no whispers. Doesn't appear to be close to a deal. So I think he's going to be on the roster for Philadelphia, at least for the rest of this season. Whether or not he chooses to say, all right, I'm going to try to play. Probably not.
Right.
Probably not. But... and again, when the Sixers are winning like this, they're not missing him.
Right,
so
right.
They're not going to be like, all right, we'll do whatever we can to get him back. Right now, they're kind of like, you're only really hurting yourself at the moment by sitting out. You're not playing yourself out of this team. You're not making yourself attractive to other teams. So it's up to you.
My final just takeaway from this entire article is, like, again, it feels like a lot of the stuff is coming from Simmons' camp. Like, this
Absolutely,
is where Ramona is getting a lot of this information. And you would think... because of that, you might feel a little more sympathetic to Ben Simmons after reading it, and I'm not sure that's the main takeaway for a lot of people. I think it's the opposite. I think there was a lot of stuff in here, like the questioning Embiid in the 2019 playoffs, and yeah, oh, where are you, Doc? Why don't you come see? Like,
find me.
It almost made it
find
worse.
Me in the valley.
Am I crazy to think that?
Yeah, there's a lot of eye roll moments. Yeah. It's even got me questioning, like, is Ben Simmons the problem? It used to be about raising the cat when the Sixers won. This guy got a dog named after a villain, and suddenly everything falls apart. I hate to say it.
What are you saying? We do that dog.
Maybe every man shouldn't have a dog.
Okay.
So is it just named after the villain? Just named after the, just because?
That or Desmond.
Yeah,
that or Desmond. Desmond's biceps, I guess.
It is an Italian mastiff. They got a lot of muscles, don't they? Those type of dogs.
It's like that jacked up kangaroo. It's got some big pectorals under there, I think.
Right, I think so.
I'm assuming. I will say, I think Ramona did a good job in writing both sides. It wasn't just a, hey, this is what Ben Simmons' camp is saying. It, yeah, made him seem somewhat petty because he's calling out an old teammate, just like he was called out. So the two rights don't make it wrong there. I don't think Ramona was just spewing the stuff from Simmons' camp. So that's why it makes you feel that way. I think she did a good job of that. But I think it's clear Philly knows that the best player that they could have by the trade deadline or in March or April, it ain't anybody on someone else's roster. It's Ben Simmons, I would say. So I think he's still around. He's still around. They're still playing it. It seems very, very unlikely that he plays for the Sixers, but they're still showing him some love.
You still believe, it sounds like, it's a possibility.
I didn't say that. I said it's very unlikely, but they know who the best player that they could have in March and April.
Yeah,
it's
but that guy. Okay, but this is basketball. There's five people out there. He might be the best talent of anyone they actually traded for, but that does not mean it will work and that they will all, like, link up back together and everything will be copacetic. And I think the opposite could happen if he actually returned.
Well, didn't Joel Embiid blame the fact that the team is built around Simmons? He's like, it's been built around him for years.
Right.
That's something Joel Embiid said as a way to lure him back, basically saying, we're not doing that anymore. It didn't work. So I don't know. To me, both sides have been wrong basically the entire time for this, and now we're just getting the ins and outs and the actual details of exactly how they were wrong.
All right, let's hear from everybody out there. Are you tired of us talking about this? I'm sure some of you are. That's okay. I get it. But that was a different way to discuss it, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
good. Yeah.
We'll take one more break. When we come back, JD's got Tweet of the Night, and we got Pick'em Results. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, guys. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing. However you cha-ching, no sound effects. I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with the No Dunks crew here in the Classic Factory. It's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, Tweet of the Night comes from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Yes!
CBC Gem, to be exact. And that is, I'm out of the loop, but I think it's sort of their streaming service where you watch, you know, the classics, Coronation Street, probably Degrassi, I would think.
Sure.
And, of course, Murdoch Mysteries. And the tweet, I don't have the tweet, I have it in front of me, but I'm not going to show it to you. Basically, it's showcasing a cameo by Raptors coach Nick Nurse, and I have it here for our enjoyment, so here it is. Wait a minute. Yes, here it is.
Now, I've done some rough calculations. The average height of each of the boys on the team is 5'4". Arms extended overhead increases that average to 6'10", leaving a gap from the tip of their fingers to the top of the basket of 3 feet, give or take a few inches.
Obviously.
Sir?
Has your team won a game yet?
No.
You think you two are helping?
Well, we are trying.
A word of advice?
How are you qualified?
Well, I've spent my entire life in locker rooms. You need to let the coach coach the team. The boys need one voice to listen to. Let the man lead.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah, no, I'm right. By the way, what's your team name?
Well, we don't have a name yet.
Team needs a name. Something fierce, like Raptors.
Raptors?
Raptors. Trust me, it'll catch on one day.
What's that?
Must be from the circus.
Awesome. Like, really, really great.
I buried that shot, spinning the basketball. That's what got the laughs.
What was awesome?
Hey, man, I think...
How shitty it looks. Like, he was good. Like, he's
good.
Yeah, for sure.
He's
But the show looks insane.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's in its 15th season, so...
I couldn't believe that, JD.
Yeah, I know.
Must be doing something right.
Almost as old as you guys doing shows.
Yeah. Almost, yeah.
I was tweeting about this yesterday.
It's a Murdoch mystery that I've never...
Do you remember this show?
No.
Okay.
No.
I remember when it was launched, and I remember hearing the pitch, and it was just basically like, oh, it's CSI, but in the 1800s.
Oh.
And I was like,
yeah,
that sounds pretty cool. But it's not cool at all. It's basically Matlock. I think. I've actually never seen it.
Yeah, people just say it's like feel-good Canadiana.
Oh.
Just someone also said it's great napping television.
100%.
Who does Nick Nurse sound like? Ah, okay. Mm. You guys, I've watched that clip twice now. I don't know. It's his cadence. Mm. Each time it comes to me, but then it's gone. Anyways.
Every time he talks, I'm always like, oh, that's what he sounds like.
Yeah.
It doesn't match his voice for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, this brought me back to my my cameo on a Canadian delight. Degrassi, I've already said it. I was on Degrassi Junior High. There's the kids at Degrassi, and then they all went to junior high.
And I was on that one, and I have a clip that I'm going to share.
Oh, yes!
It's not a sot, but this is...
not a sot.
Well, I don't know. It might be a sot.
PO coming up, people.
Yeah, let's have a look at it. This is from the episode entitled Dinner and a Show. And if you look closely,
wow. There he is.
There I am in the background.
Oh my God!
Working the ladies, JD.
Yeah,
didn't need to act for that, I'm sure.
Oh, well, that was my first time meeting her, and she was her name is Maya. You know, she's a very nice person. And so here we are, Joey Jeremiah jumping into my shot there.
Yeah,
so,
fedora.
Yeah, and then Joey. Here we go. This is. You know, we cut away and then we come back, and here I am. Now, listen, just look at me acting. I'm not speaking. Basically saying the alphabet because the dialogue up here. And I want to highlight that one thing there. This is me again in slow motion, popcorn in the mouth, and yep. Watch the little flick of my...
You know, as people do when they eat popcorn.
Absolutely. Well, I'm talking. I'm making a point. I'm, you know... I'm on a date with this lovely girl, and anyways, I feel you, Nick. I feel like me and Nick are in the same, you know, club or whatever. Right. You know, long-running Canadian shows where we made a cameo, although I didn't get any lines, unfortunately. Mm. But
did you eat a lot of popcorn that day?
Oh, my God, so much popcorn.
Yeah.
Like bags and bags and bags of it. But it was a fun day. It was good.
Wow.
Good times.
Did you watch either of these shows? Degrassi or Murdoch Mysteries when you were living in Canada? No.
Nah.
Did you even know it was a show, Murdoch?
I don't know. Degrassi, yes. Yeah, don't know about the other one, though. No.
All right.
Wow.
Amazing tweet of the night.
We got to get that clip, JD. Drop it in the Slack, please. I make the same hand motion when I had the pleasure of interviewing Kobe Bryant. I made that same the same flick.
Yeah.
We got to do a split screen
split
of that.
Screen for sure.
Okay, so Degrassi versus Murdoch. Is Degrassi still on?
It's coming back.
Degrassi versus Murdoch Mysteries. I know no one's watched Murdoch Mysteries, but Degrassi, an absolute classic.
An institution.
Yeah.
A worldwide institution.
Yeah, had a nice time.
And I grew up, I literally grew up four blocks from the actual Degrassi school. Street.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
And
Degrassi
and when I was in Australia, Lee, people would be, sometimes I would get, they would never say American, they would say Irish.
Right.
Or sometimes they would say, are you Canadian, just based on my accent? But one time somebody said, you sound like Degrassi. You know the show Degrassi? And I'm like... I was on Degrassi.
You're telling me you don't recognize me? What's going on here?
But like the stupid, that Canadian accent that all the kids talk with, that's what I apparently talked with and probably still do to this day. So
there's some there's some accents in that show. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let us know, A, if you watch Murdoch Mysteries, if you're a big fan. B, if you remember the episode of Degrassi that JD was in. And any of your other favorite Canadian shows, let us know. Okay, pick 'em results from last night. It was the Heat-Raptors game. Raps favored by 1.5. I picked the Raps. Trey picked the Raps. Lee picked the Raps. Taz had swerved once again to start this brand new month of February, and the Raps got it done in the end, covering there.
That Max Strus 3 could have given that was close.
Ooh, very, very close. So, we're all 1-0. Taz is 0-1. What's tonight's game?
9 games on the schedule this evening, and some good ones. John Morant in Madison Square Garden. Grizzlies Knicks on ESPN. Kevin Porter Jr., facing his old team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cavaliers Rockets. That's a doozy. Nuggets nice. Jazz, also on ESPN. A little confused why the Jazz are 3-point favorites because I don't think Rudy or Donovan Mitchell are playing. They're both listed as out. And the one that we're picking, also a good one. Not really. OKC visiting the Dallas Mavericks. It's an 11.5-point spread. The Mavs favored by 11.5. It's a tough, tough selection. Three of us are on the Mavs. Skeets, myself, and Trey. Wally taking Thunder just to cover. Just a cover.
I made a mistake this morning. I've been doing pretty well here in Pick'em. But I'm making my picks, like, instantaneously, right? Usually. You share it in the Slack. I go, boom, give me that team. It's been working out for me. Today I did the opposite. Big line. I think the big line got me. I think I even responded to you. Wowzers, I think I wrote back. And then...
That's what he wrote.
I started digging into the Mavs. I'm like, hold on. Let's see how they do... You know, do they bounce back after a loss?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they do. They win big after a loss.
Oh, then you're good.
Yeah, but I think I'm overthinking it is my point.
Agree.
I'm already concerned that you're going to be right with this one and the Thunder are going to cover.
Anytime it's a double-digit line, it's tough. It's like,
oh yeah, anything.
You know, I saw 11 points. I said, I think the Thunder can at least keep it within 11 points.
Of course, they just smacked the Blazers.
No Gilgeous Alexander, of course, but other than that, if they can just keep it close. But that was a great game, but I'll say that to Tassie, because it was just enough points where you're like...
Great line, Tassie.
No, it was. I mean, because
that's what the line makers do.
Yep. I like it when you look at a game like that, I could really go either way on this one. Mm-hmm. Saw the double-digit points. I'll take them. Yeah. See what happens.
All right. That's today's classic here from the Classic Factory. But we got another one coming. In, I don't know, a couple of hours, we're going to hit the beach to answer your emails and tweets. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, on Apple, on Spotify, so you know when that bad boy is up and ready to either join us live, again, early afternoon, East Coast time, if you want to on YouTube, or of course, just wait for the podcast to hit your feed. Keep sending in your questions, nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Do you think we're going to put the little JD Flair of his cameo on Degrassi on our social media channels?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
You know, we got to see in the editing room if it works or not.
Okay, good. Thank you for your honesty.
Of course we're going to force it. I'm going to force it. Yeah, it should be there.
Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks and get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. We'll see you later today on the beach. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we live in the city where Red Velvet, Kevin Herter, plays basketball. We've got our own Red Velvet here in Trey's shirt. Or is that, what color is that? Is that red?
Camera. Yeah, it does look different.
What color is that?
I've been calling myself a cranberry boy all morning, so I think it's a cranberry colored shirt. Maroon, if you want to get basic with it.
A little more purple to me than a cranberry.
A little overripe, you're saying?
Yeah. Looks like a nice fine grape. Yeah, I could drink that in a wine.
Ooh, you want to ring me out, buddy? Got some soaking wet pits here. Just not very breathable velvet, it turns out.
Pick a payoff. You got to drink Trey Kirby's wine. By wine, we mean his armpit sweat.
Tasty.
Yummy. Embrace the day, people.